Let's go to Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. I want to talk about Brother Caleb tonight. And here he is all these many years after the first time he went into the promised land. And he went the first time as a spy amongst 11 other of the brethren. And 10 of them came back giving a negative report. Here Caleb is and Joshua, they're saying, let's trust God. Let's go forward. Let's believe the Lord. Hey, don't worry about the giants. Stop comparing yourself to the giant and seeing yourself as a grasshopper. Compare the giant to God and see him as a grasshopper. But the children of Israel didn't listen. Now 45 years later, he returns. And we pick up the story in verse number 7. Let's all stand, please. Verse number 7, Joshua chapter 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Caleb. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the young people's testimonies, Lord. Thank you for Operation Occupation. Thank you for the springtime plans here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the opportunities that lay in front of us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless us as we spend some time preparing for the things that are ahead tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to draw your attention to three little words in verse number 12. He says this, now therefore, and then look at the next three words, give me this, give me this, give me this. You see, when Caleb went the first time, he didn't go over there to spy out the land. He didn't just go over there to bring back a good report and bring back some of the fruit. You know what he did while he was there? I think he went over there thinking, hey, I'm one of the first 12 over here, and God's already promised this. I think I'm going to go mountain shopping a little bit. I'm going to go look around a little bit. I'm going to go pick out what I think of a God might give me. And so when he came back, he not only brought a good report, but in his memory, in his mind, he saw a mountain. And I don't know why, but when God spoke, I believe God spoke to his heart when he laid his eyes on that mountain. I think there was a lot of different mountains, but I think when he saw that mountain, God spoke to his heart and said, Caleb, that one's for you. That one's for you. And he dared to pray this prayer to the Lord. Give me this. Give me this. You know what? God answered that prayer. Took him 45 years to answer it, not because of his disobedience, because of the disobedience of others. And let me just say to every one of you, well, preacher, it's my life, if I choose to get out of the will of God and I choose to be disobedient, the only person I affect is myself. That is a lie of the devil. Do you know what? My life has been hurt by my sin, but in many ways, my life has been hurt by other people's sins also. And everybody in this room can say amen to that. And so your sin and your disobedience doesn't just cost you, it costs people around you. And here's Caleb, who was obedient, and Joshua, who's obedient. But guess what? They had to trudge around out there for 45 years waiting for God to keep his promise because of the disobedience of somebody else. Now listen to me. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. You leave God's will, you just don't affect your life. You could affect your children's life and your grandchildren's life and your great-grandchildren's life. And so here's my brother Caleb, and he's out there. He's just a kid. He's just a young guy, and he's out there in full energy and full strength, and he's spying everything out, and he can't wait to run back and tell Moses, man, we can do this. And you know what? Let me tell you what's, and you know what? Somewhere along that journey, he took a look at a mountain, and somewhere along the journey, God said, you want that? And he said, I sure like to have it, Lord. Why don't you ask me for it? And he says, give me this. Give me this. And he said, okay. Okay, you stay faithful and I'm going to give it to you. You know, folks, listen to me. I believe this. I believe that there's something over on the other side of Jordan. By the way, there wasn't anything in the wilderness that Caleb laid his eyes on and God said, hey, you want to ask for that? Too many Christians spend your life over here in the wilderness just wandering around in circles. You won't cross the Jordan River. You won't get into the promised land. You won't trust God enough. You won't get over where the blessings are. You won't get over to full obedience. You won't get over to full surrender. And young people, those of you that made that decision, don't you go back on that decision. Because you know what you did? You went to a youth conference and you gazed over and you looked over Jordan and you told God, I'll cross over. But you know how many young people I've stood with through the years that looked where you looked and said what you just said? And you know what? When it came down to crossing time, they went right back in the wilderness and they're still wandering there today. But let me tell you something. There's something on the other side. There's something on the other side. And God wants to give you something. He wants, I believe this. I believe that ownership is important in the work of the Lord. Personal ownership is important in the work of the Lord. Two weeks ago, I told you on a Sunday night, this morning, I'm not going to retell it about wanting a Sunday school class. You know what I did? I kept going to that superintendent and I kept saying this prayer, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. They after I was in college for 2 years, they had a new ministry outreach they were going to start, and they wanted to start services in 100 nursing homes in the Chicagoland area. And you know what? God spoke to my heart. And you know what I did? I went to the guy in charge. You know what I prayed? You know what I asked him? Give me this. Give me this. Give me this. First time I drove up to Foster Avenue on the north side, I don't know if they didn't like me. I think they gave me the nursing home that was the farthest from the college. It was clear on the north side of Chicago. And you know what? It just had 45 residents in that small nursing home. But the first time I walked into it, you know what I said? Give me this, Lord. Give me this. Give me this. You know what? When I went to Fisherman's Club and I had an opportunity to be trained to be a soul winner, and I finally got to the place where I was trained enough to train others, and the first person that God gave me that was brand new and had never been soul winner, and I had an opportunity to train that person, you know what I said? I said, give me that young man, Lord. Give me that young man, and I'll train him if you've given me that young man. When I joined the bus ministry up there, I went to started as a worker. And by the way, you say, preacher, I'm not a bus captain. I'm not a worker. Let me just tell you what I, and this is good advice to every bus captain. Please listen. You know what? Every one of your workers ought to have ownership in that bus route. You know, one of the things I did as a bus captain is I made sure that all of my workers, you know what, it wasn't helter-skelter. It wasn't, you know, well, this week you visit here and this week you visit here. But yeah, I'd draw a map out and I'd say, listen, if you're going to work on this bus route, you know what, this 2x4 block area right here, that's yours. And you two ladies here, this 2x2 block lady area, that's yours. You know what I want? I wanted them to feel some ownership. I believe in this idea of praying, give me this, give me this. You know what? I was faithful as a worker, and I took a section. All I was given by my bus captain wasn't a whole bus route. It was just a section. Johnny Esposito was my bus captain. Can I tell you on, Brother Johnny? I'm going to tell you what. If there was... And if it's a crime to abuse a bus worker, then Johnny Esposito should be in jail right now, because we were good friends, and he found all kinds of ways to torment me. I was a brand new worker. And so he said to me one day, he said, I'm going to divide the bus route up. And he pulled out a map, and he said, I'm going to get this part of Joliet, and it's mine, and this part of Joliet, and it's yours. And, of course, I didn't know anything about the route. And I said, all right. And he said, yeah, I mean, this is where you've got to get kids, and this is where I've got to get kids. So the first Sunday I was on the bus, we picked up all the kids that rode in Joliet at that time. Guess where every single one of them lived? In his section. Every single one of them lived in his section. Not one. And I'm like, when are we going over to my section? He said, well, we're not. I said, why? Because we don't have anybody coming from there. And I said, why? And he said, because you haven't brought anybody from there yet. And I said, so you took the section where everybody, yeah. And then 4 weeks into this, 4 weeks in,
he started doing something to irritate me. He'd say, now on this side of the bus, everybody's going to sit on this side of the bus that's from my section. And everybody's going to sit on this side of the bus that's from Brother Jerry's section. He'd have 45 kids stacked on each other on this side, and I'd have like three, you know. And then he'd love to do hallelujah, praise the Lord contest, you know, between them. I mean, anything to irritate me. But you know what I did? I said to myself, okay, you know what? I'll take where there's nothing. Come on, are you listening to me? I'll take where there's nothing. By the grace of God, there'll be something. And then he announced this in about the fourth week. He said, now, 2 weeks from now, he said, we're going to have a contest. And he said, we're going to do my side of the route versus Brother Jerry's side of the route. You know, here's 45 kids and my three, you know. And he said, 2 weeks from now, we're going to do a contest. And whoever has the most, the other guy is going to have to go over. There was a little nasty river that ran through Joliet. And he has to go out into the river, and he has to dunk himself in the river like Naaman the leper, you know. And I'm thinking, this is so rigged. This is ridiculous. And so I went over to my section, and I began to visit. And I found this little corner of the bus route that I'd never hit before. And there were about 8 or 10 apartment buildings full of people that were from, am I saying it wrong? Is it Laos? L-A-O-S? Is it Laos? Am I saying it right? Laos. Now, folks, I didn't even know where Laos was. And you know what? Most of them couldn't even speak English. But somehow I got in those apartments, and somehow I got the favor of the moms in those apartments, and they decided that on that Sunday they would send all of the kids from, and I didn't tell him anything about this. So he filled up his side of the bus. He had about 45, 50 on his side. I don't think he tried very hard. He thought he'd won, and we pulled over on my side of the route, and I said, go up here to this corner here. And I ran in through those apartments, came out, and you know what we had? We had 47 on this side and 47 on this side. And we tied. And he said, well, and, you know, Brother Johnny, he's always going to work an angle. And he said, well, the only way we can break the tie is do a hallelujah, praise the Lord contest. These kids didn't even know English. And so I get on my side and say, you've got to say hallelujah. And they're just looking at me like, who are you? And so they're going, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I'd say, praise ye the Lord. And they just stare at me. You know, not one kid said praise the Lord. So guess who ended up going in the river? You know, and I kind of realized I'd probably lose. But I had the last laugh on Johnny Esposito. I didn't tell him anything about this. But when we pulled up to that river, and he's like, oh, and he's making a big deal about it. You know, he's rubbing it in. And I'm begging him. I said, Brother Johnny, and I kept saying this, Brother Johnny, don't make me go into that river. I've studied this river. It's toxic. And there's poison in it. And bad things happen to people that go in that river. And I'm building this up. I'm begging him, don't do it. I'm afraid what's going to happen. What he didn't know is I had went out and found a sea monster rubber mask. And I had it stuck down in my pants. I did it. In my pants back here. And I'm begging him not to make me go in there. And he's going, no, no, you got to go. And the kids are all saying, you got to go. Except mine are just sitting there like this, going, what's going on? I have no clue what's going on. And so I kept going. I'd go to my knees. I'd turn around and say, please don't do this. And he'd go, no, go, go. And on my waist and then all the way up to my neck. And I said, okay. And then I went under. I got a good breath because I had to dig around in my pants and find my mask under. The things you'll do when you're 19, 20, 21 years old for the bus ministry. And I'm under the water. And I took a big breath because I wanted to stay under just, I mean, as long as I possibly could, you know, the point where they're thinking he's dead, you know, where... And Brother Johnny wouldn't have been able to come out and save me anyway. He's only about that tall. And so he'd have drowned if he tried to get me. And I held my breath and held my breath. And I pulled on the mask. And then I had these sea monster rubber hands. And I pulled them on. And I held my breath just as long as I could. And I know at this point they're worried. And all of a sudden I just took one hand and I started lifting it out of the water like this. And then I'd pull it back down and lift it out of the water. And the kids are just looking like this. And when I knew I had all their attention, I'd come up out of the water like this. And I scream. And I try to and start charging them. And the problem is these kids from Laos, you know, this Laotian kids who don't know English, they just look and they start screaming. And all of the Mexican kids ran for the bus. I mean, hey, they know where to go. And but the Laos kids, they just ran in circles on the you know, and then I realize I'm terrifying my bus riders, and so I'm trying to calm them down. All they see is a sea monster coming. The next Sunday, I went back, or Saturday, I went back in those apartments, and every time I knock on the door, a kid would open, slam the door on my face. I mean, it took me 6 weeks to get those kids back. I had to bring the rubber mask to every mother and show them and explain everything. You know what, folks, listen to me. It was good for me to have ownership. Are you listening to me? It was good for me to have, I don't know if it was good for me to have ownership or not. It was good for me to have ownership. And then, you know what, to much whom much is given, if you're faithful in small things, you know what, God opens doors. I want you to get this. Stop staring over the Jordan River. There's land to possess. You know, when God gives you a little thing, be faithful in the little thing. If you're faithful in little, then God will let you be faithful in much. But I wasn't on that route 4 months, and they tapped me on the shoulder and said, they wanted me to be a bus captain. Honestly, I didn't want to be a bus captain. I enjoyed the route I was on, but I became a bus captain, went into Chicago, and I told you a little bit about that and walked the perimeter of that and prayed over it. And God gave me that first Sunday. You know what? I decided when I got there, Lord, give me this. Give me this. Give me this, Lord. Give me this. You see, I think the bus ministry, and that's why, listen, we're pro-bus ministry around here. Okay, if you're not, hey, I love you, but you need to get over it. Amen, because we're pro-bus ministry around here. What's one of the neat things about the bus ministry, preacher? The bus ministry allows you to experience both personal ownership and personal responsibility for the part of a church's mission field. You think about that. You know what a Sunday school class, I mean, every Sunday school teacher, I hope next Sunday you walk in your class. And maybe this week, listen, if you need a key, ask and get a key. If you're going to come over here and pray, I'll get a key. If you're going to come over here and snoop, don't ask me for a key. But, you know, it'd be good for a Sunday school teacher to show up sometimes when there's nobody in that class to get on their knees and say, God, give me these kids. Give me their hearts. Give me this age group. You know, a nursing home, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. When I walked in that nursing home, you know what? That a nursing home allows you to have some ownership. Let me ask you, what is yours? What have you prayed for? What have you asked for? What have you claimed for the Lord? You know, let me say this. The brilliance, I'm going to say it again, the brilliance of Operation Occupation is the fact that it allows you to have ownership of something. It gives you an opportunity to say, Lord, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Whether it's a Sunday school class, a nursing home, an Operation Occupation, mission field, a bus ministry, I think ownership is important. You say, preacher, why? Because it gives you a chance to pay back what someone did for you. Someone claimed you for the Lord. Someone prayed over you. Somebody prayed you to Jesus Christ. Somebody won you to Christ. Somebody taught your Sunday school class. Somebody picked up some of you on a bus route. It gives you a chance to pay that back. It gives you the motivation to stay faithful in the big three areas of responsibility to God. If I had a little three-legged stool, I'd bring it up here and I couldn't find one. But I, you know what? You can sit on a three-legged stool and you can be all right. Four legs, maybe a little bit, but you can. A three-legged stool will work. And you know what I believe the three-legged stool of every Christian's life ought to be? And without one of these legs, you're falling over. And that is Bible, and it is prayer, and it is church attendance. And yet, what do we struggle in sometimes? Come on, Bible and prayer and church attendance. But you know what? You become responsible for somebody, and that gives you the motivation. When you don't want to read your Bible, you say, Lord, I got to read my Bible because those kids are counting on me. Those bus kids are counting. Those teenagers are counting on me. That young adult class is counting on me. Lord, I can't slack off. When I decide I don't want to pray sometimes, you know what? I can't not do it. You know what? I can't miss church because, you know what? Some of those young people have their eyes on me, and I've got to be faithful. And are you listening to me? It gives you motivation to be faithful in the big three areas of responsibility to God. It gives you motivation to stay right with God, to stay right with God. Because you know what? If I backslide, I'm just not backsliding and affecting me. Because I've taken ownership all through my Christian life, even the times when I wanted to quit and I wanted to backslide, you know what? I couldn't bring myself to do it because I knew it would destroy the faith of some of them that God had given me. There was a man that I worked with at the sawmill years ago, and I worked at a sawmill in Clay City for a couple years, and his name was Calvin. And they hired him. I'd already been working there for 6 or 8 months, and they hired Calvin, and I began to talk to him a little bit and build a relationship and a friendship a little bit. And finally, after work one day, I said, can I talk to you for 15 minutes after work? And I sat down with him, and he said, what do you need, preacher? And I said, I need to know if you're okay. And I said, I need to know if you're ready for eternity. And I need to know if anybody's told you about Jesus. And he gave a good testimony. He'd gotten saved. He actually came out of a life of drug abuse and had just done a stint in jail not that long before he got hired at the sawmill. But he said, I got saved in jail. And he said, you know what, I started going to a little church, and he mentioned the church, and it was a Bible preaching church, gospel preaching church. And I said, well, that's good. And I'm kind of into it, and it's new, and I'm learning. And he said, preacher, I just pray for me. I don't want to get back into that old lifestyle and all of that. Well, about a month later, he came to me, and he said, preacher, I got to talk to you. And I said, what? And he said, my pastor scared me half to death. And I said, well, what did he do? He said, he asked me to teach the third and fourth grade boys class. And I said, man, that is fantastic. And I said, so when do you start? And he said, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. He said, I told him I'd just have to think about it and pray about it. And I said, well, why are you thinking about it and praying about it? And he said, well, I just want to make sure it's God's will. And I said, if your pastor came to you, he's seen enough growth. I mean, come on, don't you have some faith in your pastor? He's seen something. And I said, Calvin, you need this. And he said, well, just pray with me about it. A week later, I brought it up again. I said, hey, are you going to take that Sunday school class? And this is what he said to me. Listen to what he said to me. He said, no, I'm not. I just can't. And I said, why not? And he said, because if I end up backsliding, if I end up going back in the world, I don't want to affect those boys. You know what I looked at him and said? I said, Calvin, it sounds like me. You're already planning to go that direction. And I said, look at me. Are you serious about wanting to serve the Lord? Yes. I said, you know what? You need to take that class. You need that extra motivation when you're faced with temptation to know that you can't backslide because of those kids. Right. Well, I just don't know, preacher. Week later, I brought it up again. He didn't want to talk about it. He never did take that class. Well, I quit found a different job, so I quit the sawmill and hadn't run into him. Saw him about 7 years later. Ran into him in a store one place, and he just looked a mess. And he kind of caught my eye and then caught my eye again. And I went over and I said, Calvin, is that you? And he said, yeah. Man, I gave him a man hug, you know. And I said, how you doing? I said, are you still in church? And he just dropped his head. And I said, don't tell me you've dropped out of church. And he said, yeah, I don't go anymore. And I said, don't tell me you're back. And he said, yeah. He said, preacher, I'm backslid. And listen to me, folks. You know what could have saved his life? Taking that little foot three. You know why? Because all of us, let me tell you the people that are helped most in our Sunday school hour. Let me tell you the people that learn the most Bible in our Sunday school hour. The teachers. The teachers. Preacher, I don't feel like I'm doing any good in that Sunday school class. You're doing good for yourself by preparing for that Sunday school class. By studying for that Sunday school class, by visiting for that Sunday school class, by praying for that Sunday school class. Listen, folks, don't run away from ownership. You know what? It helps to give you the motivation to stay right with God. It gives you a place to set goals and see God help you reach those goals. It gives you a place to see your prayers answered. It gives you a chance to produce fruit that remains. I don't know who's all involved and who signed up Donald for the first time, and who got him to come to church for the first time. I know Brother Jeff and Miss Mandy has you've picked him up on a lot of these extra services. And by the way, out of their way a little bit. Listen, look right up here. I'm just going to say it out loud. I don't understand some of you that don't want to take ownership of even one kid. I mean, I've got teenagers that live not that far from me, but you can't be inconvenienced. I think you're probably glad, Brother Jeff, that you took a little extra time and ran over and picked up Don. Let me tell you, when he's up here telling this, I look back and some of the, you know, the people's the most blessed? The ones that went to his door and said, Lord, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Are you getting this? That leads us right into our introduction to Operation Occupation. And I want to just go through some things briefly with you. In the back on the information desk, there's a paper that you can pick up on the way out. And it tells about Operation Occupation. Say, preacher, where do we even get the name of this? In Luke 19, verse 12, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. That word occupy is talking about the taking over of land or an area. It's claiming your possession on the right side of Jordan. It's saying, you know what? This is something that I can do for the Lord. It's taking ownership. And Operation Occupation is a ministry the Lord laid on my heart, and this is our third year to do it. I've divided our Jerusalem into 20 specific mission fields. I'm asking 20 people in our church to volunteer to take responsibility to evangelize these mission fields in 2020. Think about that, 20 sections in 2020. Wouldn't that be awesome? What's the goals, preacher? What am I getting into? What am I committing to? The gospel delivered to every home. This is accomplished two ways. Young people will deliver the gospel to the cities and towns. If you take responsibility of one of those areas, whatever there's a concentration of population, the teens will take care of that for you. The Operation Occupation leader and his family and the helpers that will help him will concentrate on the rural areas outside of the cities and town. Folks, this is a goal. This is your goal, to provide a personal soul-winning visit to each home. When possible, witness directly to those who are at home. If it's not possible, leave a gospel door hanging packet at each door. And then keep track of the good prospects. So you're going back to the same area. Every week you're going back to the same area. So you keep a little notebook. I keep it in a little flip notebook. And you know what? When I have good visits and good prospects, you know what I'll do? I'll hit new doors every single week. But every two or three weeks I'll stop and I'll go back and work on those folks that were good prospects or new converts. Personally following up on them. Identify people groups within your mission field. This is where it gets fun. You go driving around your mission field and you start looking and seeing it the way Jesus would. Hey, Lord, give me this. Give me this. There's a nursing home there. There's a hospital maybe. There's a senior citizen center, a police station, or a fire station, or a jail, or a school, or the individual businesses. You begin to ask yourself, Lord, what can I do? This is my area. What can I do to get the gospel to my area? Number four, pray for God to give you one family from your section who joins Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2020. I want to say this to our Operation Occupation, leaders and helpers. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe, and I knew this going into it, that it would probably take us 2 years of planting and watering before we begin to see that prayer answered. We could stop now, or we could cut back now, or we could go out there and start reaping. I think the reaping's coming this year. Pray for God to give you one family. Pray for God to give you one teenager from your section who will become a faithful member of our youth group. Coordinate with the bus captain who picks up in your section. That's why the two different maps are there. You can look at your section. You can figure out who the bus, where the bus route is. And when you get good prospects, funnel those prospects to the bus captain. And you know what? As you're doing your Operation Occupation, you can be responsible for producing new riders, new families on the bus route. Enlist one family in our church to help your family reach your area. Now, I will say this. Some people have come to me in the past. They say, preacher, I don't think I could lead this. I don't think I could claim an area. I'm just not there yet. But I would be willing to help somebody. I'm going to give you an opportunity to sign up to do that. And the ones that are taking areas, I'm going to ask you to try to reach out to some of the folks and enlist some help, okay? Number eight, we need prayer support for those unable to personally go. And I want to say this. This is a ministry that I believe everybody can be involved with. Everybody can be involved with. If you can't go, you can pray. If you can't go, you can pray. Commit to pray daily over the maps of specific areas, asking God to help those leaders and those workers reach their goal. Take this seriously. The eternity of everyone who lives in that section's in your hands. I don't know about you, but I can't shortcut a street. I can't say, well, I almost got that road. I can't say, well, I didn't quite get that one. I'm going to tell you something. It haunts me at nighttime. I'm not saying I haven't accidentally missed somebody down some lane that I didn't realize there was a house. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to make sure that I can stand before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, to the best of my ability, the gospel went to every door in what I prayed you for you to give me. And so a mission leader should make every effort to attend the Operation Occupation bi-monthly meetings. And on the paper, we have the new meeting dates for this year. Brother Young has been doing a great job to help me as the assistant director. I oversee Operation Occupation, but he does a lot of the behind-the-scenes works, and I pray about that. He'll be coordinating with you, and he coordinates the assembling of the visitation packet. Thank you so much for coming and helping last Saturday on this. And I'll show these to you in just a second, but he'll assembling the visitation packets, making sure you have what you need to succeed, provide leaders with their necessary maps, update the church each Sunday night, and so that we keep this before the people. Now, folks, we have some of the sections last year that we did not get. And the section 1 and 2 and 3 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 we did not touch in 2019. And so I may put this up back there so that we can you can know that, because for sure we want to get those sections and have those sections signed up for. So the areas that we did not get last year, we're going to use the same packet that we used in the areas we did in 2019. And the, you know, here's the new packet. So if we go to an area for the second time, 2019, and then again in 2020, they've already received this. I don't want them walking up, seeing the same thing hanging there, even though it's not pretty much the same thing, but see it and just say, oh, well, I got those ones before. It's a fresh look. It's a new packet. And so if we are repeating an area that we did last year, you'll want to use these packets. And Brother Young will explain this more Sunday night in our actual first meeting. He has marked there in the back the sections that you got that you need to use this packet, and the section that you need to use this packet. Let me just kind of tell you what human nature is. If we're not careful, you know, anytime there's something new or different, it's easier to want to grab the new. But folks, listen, to these people, this is new, okay? It still has the original tract that I wrote, because we have some of them left and we want to use them. We want to be good stewards of God's money. And it's got our updated card for this year. This year, this new packet and the new areas we're going to has a brand new track that the Lord let me write. And I like talking to our Operation Occupation leaders, those on the front lines, and say, what are you hearing? And we did that last year. And they said, preacher, you know what? The problem isn't getting people saved. The problem is getting them lost. Seems like everybody knows Jesus. They think they do. And I said, well, let's write a track. I wrote a track called Ever Gotten Lost, just an entire track just to help people know that they are truly lost without Jesus Christ, and to knock down all of their thinking and all the excuses the devil put in that makes them think they're all right when they haven't been saved yet. This year, this is what I kept hearing. Preacher, so many people are telling me that they're saved, and many of them even have a salvation testimony, but they're not attending church, and they have a bushel basket of excuses why they don't attend church. So I wrote one entitled, let me get this straight. You're a Christian and you don't attend church? ? And you know what we do? We give them a Bible answer for every single excuse. I've been doing this, folks, for 35 years. I don't know if there's an excuse I haven't heard. And so we address those with the Bible. Then at the end of the excuses, here's the question. Are you sure you're really saved? Because a lot of these folks that want to claim salvation, watch this, but have no desire to go to the church. I'm going to tell you, it's not a matter of do I need to go to church to be a Christian. My question is, if you're truly saved, why don't you want to go to church? Because the Bible says that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. If there's no desire, then maybe there's no new birth. And so we give, it's still a salvation track and gives a strong salvation message, but also addresses some things that we felt needed to be addressed. And so now, How do we sign up for this? Well, we're going to go ahead and make these available. Brother Young, would you get a couple of the young men to help out? And if you're interested in perhaps signing up either for prayer or for to be a leader or to be a helper, whether you're a lady or you're a man, and you'd like one of these to fill out, then I'll go ahead and give those to you now so that you have an opportunity to fill it out. Now, those of you that already know, preacher, I want to be a leader. Maybe you were last year, maybe you weren't last year, but I want to be a leader, and I'm going to tell you the way we're going to do it. And you know what? I wanted to do it this way because I wanted to get there first. And so, back on the map, I cleaned it all off. It's There's no lines on it. It's clean and it's fresh. There's a marker laying up there on the top. And you know what? If you want to lead one of those tonight before you leave, go back there, grab that dry eraser marker, take a look at that map, and pray this prayer. Give me this. And write your name on it. And I'll know that you're wanting to lead that section, okay? So first come, first serve. Somebody wants to sneak out during the prayer. I think it's pretty smart. I don't know if God will forgive you for it. But anyway, whatever you want to do. And if you've got one that you just got really laid on your heart that you'd like to do, then go back there. If somebody else takes it, then negotiate. Put your hand up if you didn't get one of those half sheets of paper and you want one. Thank you, gentlemen. You did a good job right up here. Two more right up here, the Gordons. And that'll be good. All right, Operation Occupation. Now, if you want to sign up as a helper, don't write on there. If you're going to sign up to pray, don't write on your name on there. If you want to lead a section, write your name on there, and that will help us to know. Now, what I want to do is, if you'll fill those forms out either tonight or at the latest, I need those forms by Wednesday night. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet here and we'll have to cancel choir practice next Sunday night, at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock next Sunday night, we're going to meet with everybody, and we'll get this thing organized, and we'll pass out all the materials, and we'll set you up for success on this, and you will pray about this. Now watch this, folks. I want you to hear me out, okay? I'm not trying to give anybody a loophole. I'm not trying to help you excuse yourself out of something God really wants you to do, but I also want you to understand that, you know what, not everybody's going to be a part of this ministry as far as actively participating in it. I think everybody should be a part where you could at least pray, but I know that everybody's not going to be. If you don't sign up for this, I'm not mad at you, okay? I mean, at some point, listen, I know where my lines are. I know what a pastor's job is, and I know what it's not. My job is to stand up here and challenge you and encourage you and tell you to seek God's face and try to help you get a burden for souls and a vision to do something else. But you know what? What you do with what I present is really between you and the Lord. But we do need people that will take leadership. Some of you that have buddied up and partnered up for a couple years, and you know what? You're both capable of doing it. I'd really like to see that team broke up. And I'd like to see you enlist new couples or new people that would help you in your area. If you say, preacher, I don't know how to do this, but I'd go with somebody, then sign up on that piece of paper to be a helper. And then when we have the meeting, we can make sure that we're all good to go. If you've already decided, or maybe you've already enlisted some help for an area, that's fine. We'll work all that out in the meeting, and that's fine. Whatever you want to do on that. That's Operation Occupation. The last 2 years has been astounding. The first year, we were able to do all 20 sections the very first year. I'll be honest with you. Towards the end there, we were rushing to try to get it done. The second year, what we did was we took the group that volunteered and we concentrated to make sure all the areas had more help than they had before. And you know what? I think we did a better job, a more thorough job. But of course, we weren't able to get all 20 sections. You know what? We'll get as many as we can this year. I'd love for us to get a 2020 vision and do all 20. I would. But you know what? Jesus wanted to reach the world too. And you know what he said with tears streaming down his face as he looked over Jerusalem? He looked at his disciples and said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. You know what? That's what every missionary feels like on their field. Every missionary that's ever come here, you know what? They would stand before the American people, and somewhere in their presentation, their heart comes out, because you know what? They go over there and they feel like that they are surrounded by millions of people in some instances and hardly any gospel witness. And you know what they pray? Pray you the Lord of the harvest. Some of our leaders have come to me and said, preacher, I've got more of a heart for our missionaries we're supporting because I'm frustrated because we can't get help. Can you imagine how frustrated they are that they can't get help? Amen, amen. Well, maybe we'll send some reinforcements to one of them here in a few years, all right? So that's the 2020 operation. If I can get you young men to help me out with this, and we can get this to everybody, and one per couple, if you don't mind, that'll save us a little bit if we get one per couple, but teens, you can have it, and we're going to go through now our spring attendance campaign. Our 2020 Blessed Hope Baptist Church Spring Attendance Campaign. So I'm going to let them get that passed out. If you have any questions about Operation Occupation, And you'd like to talk to me after the service about it, I'll be back in the back. And you be sure and catch me, and we'll go down through here and make sure that we haven't missed anything. And so I'm real excited about this, and I'm real excited. I'm giving up, what was it, section 6 that I've hogged for 2 years? Do you want it? You better get back there, because I heard it in somebody else. I think I'd slip back right now and just put your name on there. And I hogged it for 2 years in a row. I've got two new sections that I grabbed, two that weren't done last year. And so Brother Josh Davis come to me, and he lives in that section, and he said, you know, obviously God's power is not on you because you're not reaching anybody over here. Do you think I could do it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. It's always exciting to see a better Christian than me take on a responsibility. But if anything happens, you know what I'm going to claim? Some plant, some water. I knew it. But amen, amen. It doesn't make a bit of difference. You know what? Anything happens, we just give glory to God anyway. So that's what we do. But now, let me have you take a look. Anybody not get this piece of paper, raise your hand. We've got a few up here. Here, I can do that. Because I've got my, here you go. I'll let you do that. Good. Wonderful. Now, our spring attendance campaign, I am so excited about it. All right. Our spring attendance campaign this year is going to be going to have a baseball theme to it. Anybody else not get one, raise your hand. Good. We'll have more of these sitting at the back, and that way you can make sure we get them. We'll get them out to our Sunday morning crowd also. Excellent. Good. Now, we're going to do a baseball theme. It's a four-week program. Every Sunday in the month of April, April 5th, April 12th, April 19th, April 26th. I like baseball. I've never watched a whole game on TV. I can't do it. I don't like what you watch when you're on TV because they've got the camera and you can basically just see a pitcher and a catcher. But I love going to a baseball game, an entire baseball game, and watching all of it at one time. So if you know anything about baseball, this will make sense too. If you're not, you'll just have to take my word on some things. But if a batter bats 300, let me tell you something, that is a big deal. That's a big deal. That kind of separates him from the crowd. That makes him extraordinary. And if he bats a 300 batting average in the major leagues, it says it's the gold standard for a successful player. Our goal for 2020 spring program is to average 300 in attendance during the 4 weeks of our spring program. This will earn you a sure spot in the Hall of Faith. So let's pray and work and invite and trust the Lord to help us reach our goal. April 5th, April 13th, April 19th, April 26th. Now these are the themed Sundays for each of these weeks. On April 5th, we're going to do Spring Training Sunday. We're going to have an after-church activity. This will really be pointed for our bus ministry crowd. We want to start the first Sunday really getting our bus kids and our buses full and new families and go back after some that have fallen off. So after church, we're going to do an activity out here. We'll have the bouncer set up for the little kids and for the big kids and for everybody else. There'll be a home run derby where a home run king and queen will be crowned. And so we're going to do that with, you say, we don't have the room to do that. Oh, we do with wiffle balls, amen. And so we're going to set that up out there, and we'll have it broke down into age groups where, you know what, we'll measure it off, and the young man, the young lady that can hit the ball the farthest will be crowned the home run derby king and queen. There's going to be a fast pitch radar. I've always wanted to do that. And to test your fastball. And so we'll have prizes for that. And then a fastest base runner award. And then, come on, if you got baseball, you got to have hot dogs. And so we're going to feed all the young people and everybody. Oh, you're all invited. You want to come out afterwards and hang around and eat a hot dog and watch all of this? We'll have a great time. April 12th is High Fly Sunday. Easter Sunday, and you could be a part of the famous Blessed Hope Baptist Church balloon release as we commemorate the resurrection of Christ. Also bring your mitt because you'll need to catch the candy that will rain down during our bus stop candy scramble. Also, our world famous candy bazooka will be showering the crowd with even more candy, 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 candy. April 19th, Friends and Family Sunday. Now this is where I want to really push to get adult visitors, and I want us to work specifically towards this day. This is also the first Sunday kickoff of our revival meeting. What I want to tell Brother Davison that's coming to preach, What I want to tell him is that, hey, you know, on that Sunday morning, bring a gospel message. I'd love to have 30, 40, 50 lost adults in our auditorium on that Sunday morning. Friends and family day, anyone, now think about this, anyone who brings an adult first-time visitor, 18 years or older. So this is the rewards on this day, and awards for visitors have to be adult visitors, okay? You will win a free ticket to our Blessed Hope Baptist Church Indianapolis Indians baseball game activity. We've got that scheduled for Friday, May 15th. Brother Young has a sign-up list on the back bulletin board for that. And I need to know probably by next Sunday if you're planning on going to this or not. Now, the way that you can get a free ticket to go to it is to bring an adult visitor that Sunday morning. Now, also, your adult visitor, and I want to thank Sister Darcy Mowry, and I want to thank Jeff Reiser for this, but they have agreed that every adult visitor that comes, they're going to present them a coupon for a free one-topping pizza at Goose Pond Pizza. And by the way, thank you for that. That's generous and kind of them to do that. Our guest preacher for this Sunday morning will be Dr. Sam Davison of Oklahoma City. And if you bring an adult visitor and you already come here, you get a free ticket to the game. You don't get Goose Pond Pizza. Your visitor gets a coupon for Goose Pond Pizza. If you want to trade with them, that's totally up to you. But I don't know, maybe Goose Pond sounds better than a ball game. It could. And then the top two families, and this is where I need your prayers. Please pray for me. I've already got the young adult class praying about this. But the top two families who bring the most adult visitors on just that Sunday, not for the whole program, on that Sunday, the top two families who bring the most adult visitors will attend a Chicago Cubs baseball game with Pastor and Mrs. Ross this summer. I'll work out with your schedule. We'll look at the schedule. We'll come up with a day. It's going to be a long, long day, and we're going to leave early in the morning, drive to Chicago, go to a Cubs game. I can give you a quick tour of Chicago. I can take you down through the neighborhoods where I used to have a bus route. I can teach you to flash gang signs that'll get us the bus shot at, and it'll be a great time, an awesome time. And so if you'd like to do that. Now, what I need is I need some young couples that have very few children to really work hard on this, okay? Me and my wife have to pay for this, and we're going to pay for the entire day. We're going to pay for the entire day. Please don't let Brian Morris win this, all right? I need your help in this. Please do not let Brother Abel win this. If those two families win this thing, we're going to have to sell our home in order to be able to pull this off. And so I usually don't just point out church members and purposely target them. But if you're, you know, thinking about having children, or maybe you just have one, you're a young couple, I'm really rooting for you, okay? I need you to work hard. I need you to bring visitors, because if not, me and my wife are going to be living in a cardboard box in one of the back streets here in Jacksonville, and going through dumpsters trying to get dinner. And so help me out on this, all right? Now these two families will purpose to bankrupt me. I've thrown the gauntlet down. Now they're going to put it to me. So anyway, we'll have a good time one way or another. Amen. And then on April 26th, we're going to do Crush the Competition. And this is something that is not my idea. This, is Brother Morris's idea. And we'll see about how this all works. But two great events will take place on that Sunday morning. We'll have our Sunday school children's parade, and this is for our Sunday school teachers, and you're going to continue the theme that you've been assigned, and we're going to do the children's parade just the way we've done it before, and we'll give you some more information on that as we get closer. And then after the service, Brother, did you get this by just bidding on it online and then accidentally buying it? Is that the story I've heard about it? Not accidentally, but probably you purposely bid on it with the idea that you probably didn't think you'd get it. You got it. And you know what? Everybody needs a retired military truck. And y'all need that. And so he is working on turning this thing into some type of a military monster truck. And we're going to have him crush a car out here. So again, that's going to be worth the price of admission, because you know one of two things is going to happen, all right? Either the truck will climb up there and just crush that little car, or it'll try to climb up on a Ford Fiesta and then fall over on its side. And I don't know if I'm rooting for the truck or the Fiesta at this point, but we'll see what happens. That's right. So, amen. All righty. So, That's the main events. Now, let me talk to Sunday school teachers, okay? My wife, I've already got these things ready, and we're going to get them into your hands in the next couple weeks so that you'll all have them. Every Sunday school teacher will receive enough of these to have one for every member of your class and extra for visitors. Now, this is important. This is exciting. Sunday school, we're going to have the young people in our Sunday school classes have an opportunity to become home run champions. Now, how do they do this? Any young person become a home run champion by simply attending all four Sundays of our spring program. So this is what they'll have, you'll be given. If you would, take a picture. My wife did this in her class, and she's got all the kids holding a bat, and we've got hats, and we've got those props here if you want to use them during the month of March. And take a picture of your kid and put it right there in the center and then hang it up on the wall so that they come in and see themselves on here. Now, if they come the first Sunday, they'll get a sticker here. Second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. Oh, wait, I think actually we're supposed to start going to first base. First Sunday, second Sunday. I told you I knew a lot about baseball. Third Sunday. And then get into home plate. So if they come all four Sundays, all they got to do is come all four Sundays, and they're going to be a home run champion. Now, we have a lot of young people, and that's no fault of their own. This is the way their life is. Every other weekend, they are shared between moms and dads, and they can only come every other week. So what we've put in here is this. If you miss a Sunday, you can steal a base by bringing a first-time visitor. So even a young person that can only come every other week, if they have an opportunity, if they want to, if they bring a visitor on the week that they come and another visitor on the next week, then that's four bases, and they're a home run champion. Now, I'm giving you Sunday school teachers this information because I put on here all home run champs will receive a special prize from your teacher. And I want you to just be creative in this. I don't want you to feel like you have to spend a lot of money. You know, it might be an extra activity that you go and do as a Sunday school class for your home run champions. It may be having them all over to your house. Hey, wouldn't it be awesome to get some of our bus kids into our homes where they have an opportunity to spend an evening or part of a day in a Christian home watching a Christian couple and Christian children and seeing, and maybe God putting a dream in their heart, a dream in their heart by the time they leave there. Say, you know what, maybe I don't even understand this whole church thing exactly, but you know what, if you can end up having something like that, and the love that I felt in that house as compared to what I don't feel when I go home, maybe I'll just stick in with this Jesus thing, and maybe I'll just trust God to bless. So I'm going to leave it up to each of you, and some of you are great idea people. If you need ideas, come and talk to me, and I'll be glad to help you out on some ideas. And some of you know how to do this. You say, preacher, I can take care of this. I know how to get the picture, and I know how to run it off, and I know how to, I got that. Some folks don't have the technology savvy to do that. If you need help with this, my wife said, please come to her. And we've got some people in the church that would come down in your classroom, take the pictures, run them off for you, and get them ready for you. And if you know how to do it, don't have somebody else do it, okay? It's your class. Remember, this is, give me this, okay? But if you need help, I certainly want to be available to you. And we'd love to do that, love to help you out. Now, we mentioned this. We have the cards here in the back, and they are printed on both sides. And Rebecca Lowen did a great job designing this for me. It's our spring revival, April 19th through 22, with Dr. Sam Davison, Monday through Friday. We got 2,500 of these. I love the back of this card. I purposely had her design it so that we could highlight all 4 weeks. It was Rebecca's idea to put them to look like tickets to a baseball game. And so you can carry this one card in your pocket very easily or in your purse, pull it out, and tell people about the different Sundays. Flip it over, tell them about the revival meeting. I only ordered 2,500. We're trying to make sure we have enough but not be wasteful. So, you know, don't go back there and grab 300 and then after this whole thing's over have 200 laying on your dresser somewhere. Take what you think you'll need. You can come back and always get some more. I think we'll be fine on that. I think we'll have enough to get the job done. All righty. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in Operation Occupation. Prayerfully consider what God would have you to be a part of in that ministry. And then 2020 Blessed Hope Baptist Church Spring Attendance Campaign. Excited about that also. And again, folks, you know what you're already involved with. You know what your schedule is. You know, I say to our bus workers, and I said this to our bus workers last year, the bus captains and their families, I don't expect you to be a part of Operation Occupation. Some of them went ahead and said, I want to do a section of my route anyway, and so I want to go ahead and be a part of that, and that's great. But I do understand that every single one of us, you know what, we've got a schedule, and we've got jobs, and we've got responsibilities, and we have a certain amount of time that we can dedicate to the Lord. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of times, people that are already doing a lot, because they have a heart to serve and a heart for God, and sometimes, honestly, because they don't want to disappoint their preacher, will take on more than they ought to take on. Now, listen, you won't hear this from every pastor, but you're hearing it from Pastor Jerry Ross. You know what? I don't want you to become so busy to the point where you don't have time for your family, you don't have time, where it just becomes a source of frustration instead of a source of joy. But you're going to have to figure out where that balancing place is in your life. But let me also to be careful to caution you about this. Don't sit there and hide behind family and being, you know, the people that's all about family and never serve the Lord either. Because that pendulum can swing too far that way too. And by the way, you know what? You can get involved in this as a family. As a family. You know what? I think there's all kinds of kids that's going to have as permanent memories, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, going out on bus visitation with their mom and dad while they're growing up, going out on Operation Occupation with dad or with mom doing a section. You know what? That ought to be some of their growing up memories. Is, you know what? We didn't just watch mom and dad walk out of the house and serve the Lord. We walked out with them and went to serve God. And so that, just figure that out. And husbands, wives, talk about that and figure out what God would have you do. And I promise you this. If you go to the Lord and you ask God what he wants you to do in your involvement in these things, and you obey the Lord, then you know what? How can your pastor not be happy about that? And so we'll just trust the Lord in all this. Let's stand to our feet. Say, preacher, we're going to have an invitation time. We need to have an invitation time. I need as many of you as that can to make your way to the front. Because, you know what, we need to spend some time praying over this. And let's just take this night that we are launching Operation Occupation, this night that we're launching prayerful planning and consideration for our spring campaign. Listen, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I'm going to tell you, 35, almost 40 years of doing this thing, I can tell you right now, you can work as hard as you want to work. But if you don't spend time praying and asking God to do the supernatural, you know what? You're spinning your wheels and wasting your time. So we need God. We need God's help. We need God's anointing. We need the fullness. Thank you for what Brother Travis said, the fullness of the Spirit of God. Folks, you charge out and try to do these things, and you're all dirty on the inside and out of whack with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? Come on. Let's get clean. Let's get right. Let's seek an anointing. Let's seek Holy Spirit, divine appointments and direction, because you know what? God's still in the soul-saving business. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear God, as we go forward in this spring and the next 2 months. Lord, yes, yeah. Probably in some areas we're going to be a little out of balance for a couple months. And I don't ask that. We don't have these type of programs every month. We don't keep our people running 100 miles an hour all the time. But boy, when we have these times, oh, I'm praying moms and dads will get down together and figure it out and say, hey, you know what? For the month of April, we can do extra, and we can go extra, and we can pray extra. And Lord, if we're going to get out of kilter, out of balance a little bit, it sure be good if we got over on the winning soul side. And if we're going to err, let's err on the prayer side, and let's err on the heart of God and the winning of souls. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. I pray, Lord, that you'll work in every individual heart, Lord. I know what you want me to do. I've come to peace about it. I prayed over it. And, Lord, I'm excited about it. And, Lord, I pray that there would be some people that would come forward and say, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. We pray these things in Jesus' name.